right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith, here once again with my buddies Chuck and John.
Hey now.
In the flesh, an actual morning recording.
Oh my God, this is terrible.
This is a...
My nerve endings are frayed.
This is a harbinger of things to come.
If
we're going to make this season five work, it's going to be an AM recording.
We
got to
start getting up early and treating this like a job.
Just going to stay up all night.
And that's John's bet.
I'm deadly serious.
He cannot go to bed before 4:30
no,
in the morning.
I tried to go to bed at 2 a.m. last night and just stared at the ceiling like Tom Thibodeau.
And I tried to get him on like some Ambien, but then he told me he might end up in like a blacked out murder rage.
Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
We do a lot of text threads where I'm like, guys, the only time I can record this week is between like 11:30 and 12:30. Mm-hmm. And John's like, at night? No, not at night. I have small kids. Like
children.
Like lunchtime.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'm going to catch a movie at like, I'm going to catch like a 9 o'clock showing and then I'll come over to your house.
No.
Actually, I'm trying to catch a midnight movie. Can we move that up maybe 10:45-ish?
Although for our Patreon fantasy leagues, we might do a 1 a.m. Central Time.
Guess who's man in that booth?
Because we got Melbourne, and we got Croatia.
We're all over the map now.
So we get
wherever Teximista is from,
wherever Texas, German Austrian border,
the depths of the human mind.
We are in 9 time zones.
That's right. When you hit the Slack,
because
like, you sure you want to alert everyone?
You want to alert?
Oh hell yeah!
Hell yeah! I want everybody to see this blunt I'm about to smoke.
Wake up!
Blaze it!
Does anyone in the world have like sound alerts set to their Slack? You would have to be insane.
Oh my goodness!
To have some kind of vibration.
Subtweet me right to my face.
Yeah, I do. The only thing
an ad. Everyone, it's going. My phone's going to go. Hey.
I've turned off every notification that doesn't say my name.
Right.
Like when I hear when my name pops up, it's like, okay,
listen,
I gotta go talk to them.
If you join our Slack, we are in there and we talk to you.
We do.
But like having the alert set, you gotta be crazy.
Get out of here.
Once Pickle Pick'em starts, becomes
that will be tough.
A totally different beast for me.
Well, that's like ever since the advent of the iPhone, the group message.
Yeah.
Like if you have even text alerts for group messages.
Get
that's kind of like these conversations about football and soccer and, hey, did you see this tweet? Yeah, the tweet I did? Yes, I saw it.
Yes, I did see that.
Or whatever. But, yeah, I don't know how we... I do like on the iPhone when someone leaves a message, leaves a group. It's
right.
Like, it's like so-and-so peaced out of here.
Yeah, there's like I had enough of then
this. I use leave a group as a statement frequently.
Yeah. I like to then text the person who left the group.
Yeah.
Just, you know, whatever we just mentioned.
I'll just re-add them.
Although you will.
We were doing our fantasy
football. That is true.
Doing our fantasy football draft with Patreon producer Chris Howe. And one of the people in our fantasy football league, like during the draft, left the group text thread. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, hey, everyone, let's text him when it's his pick.
Individually.
So like we'll all individually text the person just to, that's how we play. Anyway. It is the AM. Did you guys have a chance to get breakfast before you came over to my house?
I'm currently battling strep throat.
Strep throat.
He told me that after we exchanged our hello kiss.
Yeah. I mean, we tongued each other. But the only thing I ate today was Cepacol throat lozenges. Is that how you say it? Lozenges?
Oh, I thought you were asking about Cepacol.
I don't know if it could be Cepacol. I don't know.
I like
Cepacol.
So it basically numbs your throat.
Oh, right.
So I can speak now without any pain. But by the end of the show, I'm either going to be sucking on one of those, because it lasts about 30 minutes. I'm either going to be sucking on one of those or sad. Probably not going to talk a lot.
Are you sick constantly because of A, airports, B, alcoholism, C, airport alcoholism?
I think it's a mixture of stress, sadness.
I forgot about those.
Depression and
alcoholism.
So alcoholism.
I have like severe lower back pain, and I'm starting to get like weird pain in my legs.
Oh yeah,
diabetic nerve pain.
I think it's just mixtures of anxiety and never exercising.
Yeah.
Like now that I've quit exercising, like why am I? I think, is that my femoral artery that hurts? I think my, I was like, I think
my sciatica is killing me.
I'm like doing all kinds of, like, what is,
no, forget it.
Nerve, thigh, nerve damage. Do I have neuropathy? Google, do I have neuropathy?
Chuck has thrush.
I have thrush. My whole life now is just taking pills.
I got that thrush tongue.
That thrush tongue? Oh, you've had it?
Well, I have a thing called geographic tongue. Which is just makes your tongue
go
just
on.
Look, it is just your tongue looks kind of gross.
Oh,
or like it just whatever you ate. Could
Doc,
just
my
be tongue, on your
tongue looks like Florida.
It's like, oh, do you have thrush? It's like, no, you have geographic tongue.
I thought when you meant geographic tongue, you meant Kyrie Irving didn't believe in it.
Flat tongue.
Shout out Kyrie apologizing.
But now,
but not really.
But now,
just being stupid.
Paul,
I'm sorry, I was publicly stupid.
Did you hear Paul Pierce?
I did.
Do tell, feed says, my never-ending hate rage.
If the Earth is moving at 100,000 miles an hour, why does it take so long to get me to Russia?
No. I got a.
There's a
I got a cool.
Got him, Paul.
Yeah. Thank you. Where do you go to school, Kansas?
J-Hot Rock Chalk. That's right.
Paul Pierce, quote, if I take off, I should be able to get to Russia in an hour if the Earth is moving 1,000 miles per hour.
Something like that.
So, you know.
Yeah, because whatever, relative velocity. Why don't you try this out, Paul Pierce? Ride a bus, jump while that bus is going full speed, and see if you hit the back of the bus. You won't. You know why? Because you're on the bus, you dip. Sorry, Keith, you're going to have to
edit. It still that. Confuses me when I'm in a car that I can, like, throw a penny in the air. I'll be honest.
Does it?
I know there's air in the car. I know the air in the car is moving, but it still in some way confuses
it's
me.
It's quite simple physics. We'll just do a basketball
But, like, if you're on a bus and
video.
There's a car beside you, you can jump onto that car beside
Not
you?
Not doing this.
Keith, we got to do a whole podcast for this.
Not doing this.
We don't have time for it.
We don't have time for it.
No, it's really simple. I could explain this to my 5-year-old in like 5 minutes.
Well, I can tell my 5-year-old anything. That doesn't count.
It's true.
When I was 5, I thought Optimus Prime was God.
Yeah, I had to explain to my son that that Wakanda wasn't a real country.
Oh, I wouldn't have done that.
Oh, I know. It took me a while, and halfway through, I was like, you shouldn't have done this. We didn't even have started
Where'd we
this.
Where
go? Right. I had to explain it. It's not
You're
really
like, listen,
in Africa,
the Black,
but
Black Panther is real. Black Wakanda is not. That's not. I'm sorry. It's not a real place.
I'm so worried about him like jumping off of a building, thinking he's a superhero,
right,
and dying. That right. I take great pains in explaining that these things are not actually real. They're imagination.
Just
you know.
Associate anything your son wants to do that's bad with. All those times I put like hot sauce on things he enjoys.
It's true.
And bitters on things he enjoys.
Too many times.
John, what was your breakfast?
I've been awake for 41 minutes.
No one had breakfast, huh?
It's this San Pellegrino Aranciata Rossa.
Yeah, you're having a nice blood orange San Pellegrino.
Yeah, and Burb brought me out of seltzer water, which was the bootleg quality of the San Pellegrino. That tells me where our relationship is.
That's good for you, water. This is like sugar. This is Keith stuff. I took this from Keith's
that's just
fridge.
My
this is 30 grams of sugar I shouldn't be having.
He said good for you.
But my bad. My body was like, hey, you don't have some sugar, you're not going to be able to
he
talk.
He said good for you. He meant taste worse.
Yeah.
I love watermelon water. You don't like watermelon water?
That sounds incredibly terrible.
Really?
My breakfast. If we will, black coffee and a couple of bits of avocado as I was cutting them up into my baby's lunch.
That's been incredible. I walked in and there was a baking sheet full of Ferrero Rocher chocolates.
Yeah.
Decadent.
I ate 18 of those.
Keith leans into the skin.
A neighbor who built the huge add-on to their home.
Who knocked the tree down that ruined your electricity?
The contractor lady brought over some chocolates, I assume, to most of the neighborhood or something. Or maybe probably just the houses.
The
right
houses.
Nearby.
Affected by hurricane.
It was not.
Construction.
It was not her apology, but maybe it could have been. Anyway, our apologies. After our breakfast, we move to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong on any previous episode. It is often frequently the first time we talk about basketball. Though we've kind of talked about basketball.
Yeah.
Anyway. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
So last week, John, he asked me to bring up some game show calculation, tabulation music, computer-based Yeah. And for some reason, I just freaked out because I just don't do well under pressure. And the only song that popped into my head for some reason is the I Dream of Jeannie theme song. And that wasn't, it wasn't congruent to the moment. It didn't make sense in my head. While I was singing it, I wasn't sure it was that theme song. It just came on to me.
Figuring out why that happened in an entire therapy session.
I have no clue. It blew my mind.
I'm thinking of Bewitched.
You're thinking of Bewitched.
Different Darrens.
Right. I think, I Dream of Jeannie, the main character, what's her name?
Yeah.
Jeannie.
Married to an Air Force guy, or she found by an Air Force guy.
Is this show brought to us by the Air Force every week, Chuck? It's like a bodega.
My umami.
Chuck was in the Air Force.
I was in the Air Force.
I'm sorry, go ahead. That's Jeannie it. And an Air Force guy.
I mean, we're trying to delve into the depths of my psyche here, Keith.
Oh, I didn't mean I wanted that therapy session right now.
Oh, okay.
I just meant it could be a therapy session.
I was trying to get to the bottom of it.
Just push that back down.
Boom, boom.
I mean, we can go.
John requested a computer sound effect, and Chuck just started singing a song, which is nice.
I haven't watched that TV show in probably 30 years since I was a kid.
I'm self-centered. You brought up I Dream of Jeannie. Larry Hagman was in I Dream of Jeannie. I've seen every episode of Dallas.
Yes. Larry Hagman was in I Dream of Jeannie.
JR from Dallas, kind of like.
Oh, you know what it could be? I have been thinking a lot about Jeannie Buss lately.
There you go.
So I'm probably the one.
In the nude, you and her.
Her in that outfit.
That brings it to basketball, sort of.
There's a bottle involved somewhere.
My apology is for something confusing I said last episode. And now I'm not going to make it a habit to apologize for every confusing thing I say. But during the Western Conference, butter or parquet, I was trying to explain for the sake of the exercise that a team could theoretically get butter while also having a worse record. But I'm pretty sure that led to me uttering the sentence, a team can be better and still get worse. And for that, I apologize. Needlessly confusing. I'm sorry to our listeners.
I'm not going to forgive you until you change.
Oh, that's... John, why don't you apologize?
So, Michael and Miles Bridges aren't brothers, huh?
No.
I believe it said Mikhail Bridges.
Mikhail.
Well.
Mikhail and Miles Bridges, you?
I'm going to apologize for thinking they're brothers and then also for continuing to say Michael for the rest of the season.
I like it. Michael Bridges, maybe a sleeper for Rookie of the Year? We're going to look at some of those props, some of
guys,
those futures for later.
So I just brought up, for Game of Scones later, spoiler, I'm bringing up a webpage. And I have a dentist appointment today, and I have 3 ads for dental implants.
They know, brother.
Why?
Google is watching.
Well, your cavities are transmitting a signal.
I don't have any cavities.
You don't?
Uh-uh.
You've never had a cavity?
Never had a cavity. I'm the anti-Keith.
Like, do you do your own x-rays, John? You don't know what's in your teeth.
It's true.
I mean, I've never been told I have a cavity.
Never had a cavity.
Yeah. Fluoridization.
Yeah.
Has preserved my teeth and my... But they're taking my precious...
Fluoridization.
Fluoridization.
We're sticking with fluoridization.
You sold drugs in Florida.
That's
and
right.
Now your teeth are...
My precious bodily fluids.
All right. So those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Before we get to our steak and eggs best things, we have a few listener-submitted questions. The croissant? Questionnaire.
Any questions?
Yes, are you going to finish that croissant?
Knock yourself out.
All right, Steak Tips Burgundy asks, break down the percent chances that Boogie to the Warriors blows up in the Golden State's face, makes Golden State even more unstoppable, has no large impact.
69% makes them more unstoppable.
So you want to assign the final 31% to blows up in their face, has no impact?
No, has no impact. I'll do 38%. 1% blows up in their face.
That math is very wrong.
Have you ever been...
30%, 1%. There we go.
Have you ever been to a buffet and then just like ate so much that you're completely full and then you're like, man, I didn't get the chicken wings?
Oh, yeah.
and then you go back and you got the chicken wings, and you're like, I'm gonna eat these chicken wings. But you weren't. After you're done with the chicken wings, you're not as miserable as you were before, because the misery was at peak misery. That's the same. That's my parallel with the Warriors. They were so full of talent that when you added the chicken wing, which is Boogie Cousins, you couldn't tell that you were more full.
You ever been to a Chinese buffet where you're done, and then you find out there's like a raw bar you didn't even know about? Like, oh, that was...
Right.
Oh,
oh man, they got Mongolian barbecue.
I could have cooked my own food.
In the corner? No way.
Like, there's boiled shrimp over there?
Damn.
So then you just go. You fight to push through.
And there that's where is a stand-up comedian, morbidly obese stand-up comedian, who has been doing the same comedy routine about being a fat man in a Chinese buffet for 30 years.
It's funny. I love it.
You've been here 4 hours. It's a racist bit that has stood the test of time for 30 years. That's apropos of nothing. That's going to be my style. That's my show format.
Are you talking about Louis Anderson?
I'm gonna break down these percent chances.
It's a very small percentage chance.
I'm going to go 25% blows up. And by blows up, that could just mean they buy him out.
That doesn't mess them up. That's not a disaster for them.
Well, I'm defining my own blows up. So 25% blows up, 25% makes him more unstoppable, 50% has no large impact, because I think they're going to win with or without him. I think they buy him out, they bring in Zeebo. That's my bold prediction.
So you're saying you turn blows up in and has no effect into the same thing.
Sure. That's
you did not
fair.
Answer the question. Chuck, Keith refuses to answer the question.
I mean, it really doesn't matter. They won without.
I'll go with
year.
25% makes him more unstoppable.
Whatever number makes sense.
A very low percentage chance he's scoring like 20 points a game.
Easy. There's no way he's going to score more.
But I think that's what people are anticipating, that he's going to end up playing 25, 30 minutes and be a dominant big guy.
I think his per 36 numbers are going to make people's penises move. But he's not going to look good on the box score.
Well, with that statement, let's move to our next question from Feeling Minnesota. Can you come up with an analogy, such as a film or TV show, where a character loves someone or something as naively, enduringly, and relentlessly as Tom Thibodeau loves Jimmy Butler?
One of my favorite movies, because I hate myself, is The Age of Innocence, a Martin Scorsese film based on the Edith Wharton novel, where gentleman lawyer Newland Archer pines for American heiress Countess Ellen Olenska, played by Daniel Day-Lewis and Michelle Pfeiffer, respectively. It follows a 57-year romance that is unrequited is the wrong word, but unfulfilled. And it's the most touching love story I have ever witnessed in any form of art, and it does not come close to the love that Tom Thibodeau feels for Jimmy Butler.
Hmm. I would love to know how many of our listeners have seen The Age of Innocence and actually remember any of it.
None.
I've seen it. I remember. Like, I remember renting it when I was like 18. Like, this is a Scorsese movie. I will watch this movie. But I have very few memories of what actually happened.
Once watched The Age of Innocence and immediately got in the car. Drove 18 hours to Tallahassee, Florida to tell this girl, listening to a mix CD I made for a girl all the way down to Tallahassee, Florida, to tell this girl how much I cared for her, only to have a fraternity guy open her bedroom door and maybe like, hey, is Allison home? Oh, she's back in the bedroom. All right, see you later.
Oh, man. The follies of young love.
One of the most painful experiences of my life.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, though, you remember the TV show What's Happening?
I know Rerun was in it.
Rerun loved hamburgers. That's it. And popping and locking. Those were his two favorite things. Thibodeau's love for Jimmy Butler is a mix between Rerun's love for popping and locking and hamburgers.
I think Walter White from Breaking Bad just was obsessed with power, the feeling of power.
Right.
Maybe as much as Tom Thibodeau. Maybe not as much.
Certainly not Skyler. Christ.
She's the worst.
I feel bad for her because she is, I think, does a very fine job on my favorite show, Deadwood, mm-hmm. and such a thankless role.
You know, a lot of people hate they hate when she comes on in Deadwood.
Yeah. I feel like the scenes between Bullock and his wife are so touching. Like the
right.
Their domestic scenes. Now we've lost the rest of our listeners. Mm-hmm.
Dude, we should do a Sopranos
domestic reference. Scenes of Deadwood.
Dr. Melfi and Tony Soprano. She probably should have got out of his life really, really early, but couldn't get rid of him.
That narrative device grew weary to me.
It did.
But I am...
Butler needs to stay out of parking garages. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I hated that. That episode, having nothing to have a character on The Sopranos raped, to have a rape episode to preach about rape, and have it not be involved to the mob or anything,
right.
just have it be a totally random crime,
pretty
unrelated
poor.
To crime. I was like, what in the world are we doing, folks?
Pretty, pretty poor.
Anyway, those were our... Where were we? Those were our croissant questionnaires submitted.
You know what they say? Any good horror movie, Keith, anyone can be raped at any time.
Right. So, those were listener-submitted questions. If you want to submit your own questions, you have to become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. You can also join our Slack chat there where we talk about basketball and whatever else, including weird Sopranos storylines around the clock. If you sign up at the $5 mark, you get the bonus episodes of Ground Chuck, the Patreon exclusive podcast. You can also then join one of our many fantasy leagues. If you haven't signed up for fantasy, all you have to do right now is fill out the survey that would have been emailed to you or sent in the Slack chat. Actually, we will probably put that up on our Patreon page in case anyone new is joining. So if you want to play fantasy, you want to submit questions to the croissant questionnaire, if you want to join the Slack chat, get the bonus episodes, all of that is at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast.
Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has never been easier thanks to SeatGeek. They've created an amazing app and website that makes ticket buying easier than it has ever been. They pull all the tickets available on other sites into one place so you never miss a deal, and more importantly, you aren't wasting time. You can even set alerts for upcoming events, and they'll let you know if ticket prices fall. Even better, every ticket on SeatGeek is ranked based on value, so you can immediately find underpriced seats. SeatGeek is always honest and upfront about the price. You get to see the full ticket price from start to finish, and they never surprise you with big fees at the checkout page. Now, here's the best part about SeatGeek for all of you out there listening to the
Fast Break Breakfast.
My listeners who make their first SeatGeek purchase get a $20 rebate. And to get it, all you have to do is download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code, then enter promo code
Fast Break Break.
SeatGeek will then send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. It does not get any easier than that. So download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code
FASTBREAKBREAK
today.
All right. Steak and eggs. What's the best thing you saw?
Chris Dudley. Being revealed as a Kavanaugh broski.
Sounds right.
Drinking buddy has made one of the great dunk videos of all time that much more enjoyable.
Did Chris Dudley go to Yale? What's his?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
He went to Yale.
And
were they actually, were they, I am outraged by current events.
You're not
However,
that outraged.
I stick my head in the sand
yeah.
so I can deal with my everyday life.
Right.
Kavanaugh attempted to walk on, did not succeed. One of the drunken incidents involves Chris Dudley glassing a dude at a bar, and Kavanaugh being questioned, and Kavanaugh starting said fight.
I knew Chris Dudley was a conservative politician who was like, was he running for governor of Oregon or was he like mayor of
It really doesn't surprise me that tasting a black man's balls that thoroughly would drive you to the lunatic right fringe.
Well, it's the same thing that happened with
get him, Shaq.
It's the same thing happened with Sarah Palin when Glenn Rice besmirched her.
Yes.
Besmirched her, her holiness.
That's right.
In Alaska in that tournament, he left her high and dry, and then she
Team
just
Timofey Mozgov is going to be the next Putin.
Here's I don't trust. How could you ever trust a politician who could never break 55% from the free throw line?
Mm.
Ask me that.
It's fair.
That'd be the question that I ask Chris Dudley at the town hall meeting. Hey, buddy, you spent, 40 years in the NBA for some reason?
You're not going to get anything done.
Just because you were tall.
You were just tall and useless white. And white, and you couldn't hit a free throw, and you went to Yale? Get out of my face. You're worthless.
Follow-up question at town hall. How do Shaq's nuts taste? You got to do it in Ali G voice. How do Shaq nuts taste?
Booyakasha.
My best thing is the NBA GM survey was released. A lot of interesting tidbits in this. Notably, Brad Stevens was named the best coach in the NBA. First time Pop hasn't been named the best coach in the NBA by the NBA GM since 2009-2010. The most likely player to have a breakout season I'm enjoying. Answers scattered all over the place. Jamal Murray, Brandon Ingram, Jason Tatum, Aaron Gordon, Kyle Kuzma, Kawhi Leonard. What? Laurie Markkanen.
Can't wait for him to break out.
DeJounte Murray, Ben Simmons. Also, I thought the underrated moves was very strange. So let's feedback on some of these. Let's chew on some of these. What was the most underrated player acquisition? This is the NBA GM's answering. Number one, with only 13% of the vote, Tyreke Evans. Okay, I think that's a good underrated move. You know, I mean, I had the episode with Caitlin Cooper on Tuesday talking about the Pacers. I think it's a good for them. DeMar DeRozan in second place with 10% of the vote. And then these are all tied, actually. DeMar DeRozan, Jabari Parker, Julius Randle, and Dennis Schroeder. How's that make you feel, John? Mm. Right now, John's brow is furrowed.
It makes me feel like there's a lot
passing
of
gas
stupid
right now.
GMs.
I think Julius Randle, we talked about him last week. I thought he was used weirdly by Luke Walton in L.A. for some reason, was getting a lot of tick when they could have used him last year. I think he'll fit in well. He doesn't really shoot too well from outside, so the spacing thing is an issue. But I think he can help them run. And
preseason overreaction looks very nice on the Pelicans.
Does he now?
Looks very nice on
the
Pelicans.
Oh, I refuse to watch preseason games.
No, they're so good.
Are they now? Okay, I'll watch one with you, Keith. We'll go to a bar.
I had a funny wife conversation. She's like, "How'd the Grizzlies preseason game go? Oh, pretty good. Do they win? No. It doesn't matter. No, preseason basketball.
Keith, you played yourself.
Yeah. I was like, oh, God. No. It got worse, John. I said something to the effect of like, oh no. Preseason basketball is like the most useless exercise ever. It means absolutely nothing. And she was like.
Is that why we had to skip our parents' anniversary party?
Yeah. She's like, why are you? I'm like, oh no, it's really important to see like the lineups. I'm just saying it doesn't matter who wins. That part, very unimportant. Who wins? That,
right. Yeah. Big picture, nothing matters.
Whoops. Also, underrated player acquisitions, Trevor Ariza, DeMarcus Cousins, Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, Ed Davis. So all these kind of, I don't know. I like them, but I like also that they couldn't decide on anything, and they're a little weird. They also again picked as a foresight to our picking our own winners. Mm-hmm. They went kind of chalk, I think, for rookie of the year. Also picking Doncic overall, Bagley, Carter, Ayton. I see Jaren Jackson.
Ayton in the dunk on it.
Also receiving votes. Psh, terrible.
Mm, Ayton's gonna get that rookie of the year. Delicious. Bet on it.
My best, Jimmy Butler isn't playing for Miami yet. That makes me feel really good. I'm conflicted about this whole situation. I hate Jimmy Butler publicly right now, or at least in the Slack chat. And I will, as if he does become a Heatle, immediately love him and cherish him completely until he leaves my team for another team, which at
We're
that point I'll hate
him. A sleeper agent.
Right.
I think this will be like the third podcast in a row where we were certain Jimmy Butler would be traded by the time this podcast aired.
It is accurately, well, there was two last week where it was, I feel bad we have to record right now because this news is going to break. Recording on Monday, I was like, no, this is not going to happen. Recording today on Wednesday, No, I have no anticipation that Jimmy Butler will get moved. Although I've started to think of all these great, I've like entertained so many teams. I'm like very like I really think he should get traded to the Heat. And there's so many different deals.
What's the deal?
I think it would be okay. I think there's any number that I'm fine with. Obviously, I'm not a Timberwolves fan, so I don't have that investment of emotion. But I'm like, if they could trade Jang and Butler and then get back
Whiteside and
I don't want Whiteside, but I would take like a Richardson.
Ain't nobody taking your Hassan Whiteside.
In Olynyk.
Trash.
Like Richardson, Olynyk, and then maybe you have to take Waiters.
Right.
Like that ties up the Timberwolves for a while as far as salary. It doesn't really help the salaries. Mm-hmm. But like that adds depth. That makes an interesting team. Mm-hmm. I started mixing it all up, like Jeff Teague goes to the Suns, Goran Dragic goes to the Timberwolves. I can't remember. I had Whiteside. I think maybe Whiteside to the Timberwolves. But like, there's so many different
you
ones.
Put that trade machine down, buddy.
Kyle Lowry.
The trade machine, but I like to think of him using pens and string,
like
corkboard.
I was all about
surveillance.
Kyle Lowry going to the Kyle Lowry for Jimmy Butler one. Like, okay,
yeah,
all right, and then maybe throw Teague. I kept throwing Teague to the Suns. Like, just put
him there. Just I want to see how fun that.
But anyway, so here's a futures bet for you guys.
Hit me.
What team will Jimmy Butler be on October 16th?
Ugh.
That's in 15, 14 days.
Yeah.
We're
2 weeks from now.
Well, that's the season.
That's opening night. On opening night, Jimmy Butler, these are the odds. Nets,
I want to know what the Wolves' odds are.
Nets plus 150. Heat plus 250. Clippers plus 280. Those are your heavy favorites. And then the field, which is the Timberwolves included in the field.
So if the Nets are the favorites, that's a D'Angelo Russell trade?
I don't know what it would be.
Timberwolves fans should march into the lakes like lemmings.
Yeah.
If that happens.
That's a terrible situation. The best outcome probably for the Timberwolves is a Heat deal, because you're going to get a young guy, probably a young wing.
Or James Johnson.
Or Kelly Olynyk, which would be fun in that lineup.
If I'm the Heat, I'm dreaming of having these three players: James Johnson, Jimmy Butler, Josh Richardson.
Yeah,
if those three players together is what I want to watch, with maybe Justice Winslow on there.
You just named all the players that
I would. I would trade Justice Winslow to achieve the James Johnson, Jimmy Butler.
Seems like Justice Winslow might be untouchable for the Heat, though,
which I don't quite understand. I like him and all.
I think he could be one of those guys that's poised for like one of those weird breakout years where, because he finally last year started hitting his 3-point shot. He hasn't yet seemed super duper comfortable around the rim, but this could be the year that he takes that leap.
John, you're our gambler.
I'm afraid so.
I'm looking at this casino's website, which I've never heard of. If the Timberwolves are part of the field, the Timberwolves are not listed.
That's who I like.
Wouldn't you bet plus 250?
Mm-hmm.
That he's either on the Timberwolves or on one of these not 12 teams listed?
I've made a living by taking the field, and by making a living mean endangered my livelihood regularly.
Mm-hmm. Probably taking a couple beatings from bookies.
Everybody takes a beating sometimes, Jim.
Everyone gets in a bar fight, Jim. I'm surprised the Nets are plus 150. That doesn't seem quite right.
Anyway. That's a D'Angelo Russell deal. So you say that doesn't seem quite right. That means be afraid. Be very afraid, Timberwolves
If
fans.
You're looking at short-term gains for the Timberwolves, if they can get an Allen Crabbe, if they can get a Caris LeVert, Allen Crabbe, and then I don't know who the next prospect would be that the Nets would give up. I don't think they give up D'Angelo Russell, too. But if you get a Caris LeVert, Allen Crabbe, and like a pick.
There's not a player on the Nets they shouldn't risk for Jimmy Butler.
Nobody untouchable.
Allen Crabbe's overpaid, but he's what the Timberwolves need.
Yeah.
Just a guy who can shoot. All right, anyway, those were our best things. The opposite of our best thing is our worst thing, the cream of wheat, worst of week. What do you got?
Well, my worst of the week was going to be Jimmy Butler still being on the Timberwolves, but let's zag where others zig. I should have thought of something more interesting anyways. So I'll go with something that's even more widely talked about, but I want to talk about, and that's the Kobe Bryant Zapruder film.
Oh, yeah.
Dig deep, John.
Do it.
No. It's interesting.
It is interesting, and it, for me, like, messes up Kobe's mythos a lot.
Well, it's like swung back and forth both ways.
Right.
Like, they're saying the overhead camera shows that when Kobe Bryant does that ball fake, or Matt Barnes does the ball fake in Kobe Bryant's face. He doesn't flinch.
Yeah. But let's explain, just in case there's someone out there who doesn't know.
So there was some talk that the overhead camera debunked it, that wasn't really close.
It 100% debunks it.
But no, there's other angles where you see, even though they're not
it doesn't
exactly
matter.
In front of each other, the ball's really close to Kobe Bryant's face.
The overhead camera basically shows Kobe Bryant's perspective, and that pump fake was not at Kobe's face.
So here's the let's break it.
No,
let's break it down. So the reason why it was impressive to begin with is
it was amazing.
The reason why I was impressive to begin with is because Kobe had control over instincts.
Oh yeah.
At that point, it makes him seem superhuman.
Yes, and now it just makes sense.
Now it's like, oh, okay, yeah. If any human being was thrown a ball four millimeters from their nose, they're going to flinch. But it didn't.
A psychotic Matt Barnes who you've been feuding with the whole game.
Right. So now it's just like, okay, like
that stuff was like Superman catching a bullet with his teeth.
You guys are way too into it.
Well, it just seemed like for the Kobe, you know, like you said, the mythos, this whole idea of Kobe as this like robotic, superhuman.
I am saddened.
He also didn't flinch that time Chris Childs cocked his fist back.
Oh, he flinched. He almost
got hit in the face.
Yeah.
Got a two-piece biscuit with a side of gravy.
It's a neat play by Kobe Bryant. I don't understand the it's on par of like a superhero thing. He guessed. He understood. Like, he read the situation, he saw Matt Barnes is about to do something, and he chose, like, he's like, I'm going to call this bluff. I think before the ball even starts moving, he realizes Barnes could do something. Like, you've never been in a situation?
No, man, it didn't happen. That's not what happened now.
He was just standing
there. You can tell from the angle that Barnes was just pumping in another the whole thing, the entire thing that we have talked about for years and that Keith is still talking about as if it happened, didn't happen.
No, it was, I've watched the film. It is.
It's like if Babe Ruth called a shot and then you find out he was just stretching his arm out, scratching his balls.
Wait, hang on. You actually believe in the Babe Ruth called shot, of which there is no video? There's like that one.
No, it's just something we had video of that was superhuman to me.
It's about the myth. It's about what Kobe has built of on his own since his retirement with his Oscar-winning performances and all this stuff.
Don't say performances.
Oh, no. Oscar-winning effort.
I'm saying what we had was not superhuman. It was merely cool. Like, that's a cool thing.
It's one of the coolest things ever done on a court.
It builds into the Mamba mentality, this brand that, like, if you're me, you can be you can supersede instinctual events.
My worst thing is we talked about Kobe for 5 minutes.
I know. Sorry.
Like if Iverson doesn't step over Lou.
Right. Or if Jordan doesn't push off Byron Russell.
If it turned out Tyronn Lue, which is one of those.
Slipped on a banana peel.
It was one of those 3D paintings. It was actually just two-dimensional.
It's a sailboat.
All right. My worst thing is Tristan Thompson saying,
oh, God.
We're still 4-time Eastern Conference champions.
Yuck.
So until you take us down from that, teams ain't got much to say. Boston, Philly, they ain't got much to say. Boston had home court game 7 and lost. Philly, you guys almost got swept. Toronto, we know that story. Which, by the way, I do love the good Toronto dig. But
we know that story's pretty good.
Sorry, brother. That's not great. Cavs
I'm not ready to turn on Tristan because he did punch Donkey in the face. So.
my second place worst thing is Dave Yeager playing playing a lineup of 4 centers. With Willie Cauley-Stein, Harry Giles, Marvin Bagley, Scal Labissiere, all on the floor. I believe Yogi Ferrell was the 5 in that lineup. But some people were saying maybe the owner made him do it for a few minutes. Maybe that's so.
What?
So maybe he is trapped in Sacramento, but that was also pretty funny. So yeah, double helpings of cream of wheat for me this week.
Dave, you well-coiffed, well-dressed buffoon. Chuck, what's your worst?
My worst thing of the week is that I was going to talk about Paul Pierce doing all that stuff, but I already did it. Paul Pierce saying things about the earth and math and science and physics,
Pierce needs to wake up every morning and pray. He needs to call Kevin Garnett on the phone and be like, hey man, Thanks for making sure that I wasn't just Antoine Walker's running buddy and a complete non-factor.
But if you're on,
thanks for making me not Keith Van Horn.
Right.
If you're on top of a train,
okay, yep,
and you jump,
right,
Keith.
Like, aren't you going to go way farther back than where you took off from?
Keith, we're not going to do this.
Now, and some of the, like, there's like a Mission Impossible movie where you do fly back.
Why wouldn't you fly back if you're on top of the train?
I'm getting so mad right now.
Why would you break it down for him?
First of all, do you guys know I was in the Air Force?
Can you explain this Air Force?
Why isn't there a movie?
Here's why. You're also going at the same speed as the train.
Yeah. And then you jump.
And then you jump at the same speed the train is going. So then you don't have to move back.
If an elevator, if the cables of an elevator snap, and right as you are plummeting to your death,
still.
Right? No, no. Hear me out. This was on
MythBusters,
Snopes or something.
Snopes.
If you jump, this all reminds me of a song.
Peter Dinklage.
It didn't remind me of a song, but I didn't want to talk about this anymore.
Game of Scones.
Guys, I feel like this is very on brand. Let's talk about mediocrity. This is a very hard game, Scones. I want you both to fail because you've been doing too well and humiliating me lately. There are 30 NBA teams. Chuck, not sure if you knew that.
Found that out last.
All of them took some number of three-pointers per game. I want you to name the teams that are not in the top 10 nor in the bottom 10 of three-pointers attempted a game.
Oh, gross.
The most mediocre three-point shooting teams. You have three strikes. Chuck, you can go first. I'll give you a hint. No, go ahead.
No, please.
No hints.
All right,
we're just guessing NBA teams.
The Toronto Raptors.
Wow, that's really bad. They're one of the teams that chucks the most. Remember, Kyle Lowry plays for them. Space and pace.
Wait. We're talking about shots taking or three-point percentage?
Three-pointers tips? Made per game.
Made?
Mm-hmm, made.
Three-pointers not percentage.
Made per game. I'm going to go in one the middle.
Toronto is either third or fourth.
I'm going to go with the Denver Nuggets right in the middle.
God, jeez, no. See? Even worse.
It's okay.
Okay.
Give me. So they would be in the bottom.
Mediocrity. I'll give you a hint. If you're really good at shooting three pointers, you're probably pretty good, unless. Go ahead, Chuck.
Unless what? That's a hanging Chad. What are you doing? Give me another. That wasn't a hint.
I was pointing at your beautiful breasts.
The Miami Heat.
That's the first correct answer. Miami Heat are 11th in three pointers made, just barely outside the top 10.
See.
Keith, remember, don't get too bad either.
That's what I was trying to do.
Don't get too bad.
John acting like he couldn't remember that Steph Curry averaged 18 points per game on 5 threes per game over and over and over.
This is great content, Keith. You being an actual Sisyphean child right now. This is great content.
When John yells that our answers are wrong.
Look, you guys have been too good. I want you to fail.
I know. Okay. I see what
this
you're
is
doing.
Prefaced.
I will go with the Lakers.
That's good.
That's correct.
All right.
I really wanted to just dunk on you guys.
What about the Charlotte Hornets?
Oh, this is backfiring. That's also correct.
Good guess, Chuck. Mm. I will go with the Washington Wizards.
Are we doing well? I think once
your groans are hard to read. I'm not sure how that plays.
Wizards, that's a strike.
That's a strike.
That's okay. So close. You guys are. I can tell you guys are starting to get it.
All right, two
it's
strikes
making
for me.
Me sad.
Let me get the Milwaukee Bucks.
That's crazy. They're like
I would
the worst.
Guess they're the worst.
Just really
the
bad.
They're almost as bad as the aforementioned Timberwolves.
Huh.
Well, no one mentioned that, but thanks for throwing that out.
Sweet.
All right, I will go with the Detroit Pistons.
Well done.
What about the Pelicans?
Well done. You guys have ruined this for me.
Cool. I will go with the.
Please miss.
I'm going to say the Trailblazers.
Wow.
They make a lot of threes.
That's correct.
They do?
That's correct. They're mediocre. I mean, that's the problem.
Mediocre. Yep.
They got Evan Turner out there.
Play like an 8 seed.
Burner Turner.
Play like an 8 seed. I say it every time.
Let me get...
I like that Keith digging deep. You guys have named almost all of them.
Four, five. We have four left.
Way too bad. Yeah. Oklahoma City?
That's correct. This is a nightmare. This is my nightmare.
This is tough.
I actively set out to stump you guys.
Sweet.
I'm going to throwing a guitar pick at Chuck, left-handed missed. Throwing a Band-Aid. This is a weird house. It went in Chuck's water. Score.
For the record, it was a wrapped Band-Aid. Have we guessed the Bulls?
Oh, Chicago Bulls.
Bottom?
They are just barely in the top 10.
Really? Oh, top 10? Yeah.
They're 10th? All right, I struck out.
Give me...
Chuck, I believe you won, but...
Did I win?
Yeah, Chuck needs it.
Let's see if I can do this.
Win in style?
I got to pick one.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be that bad, so Memphis out.
Yes.
Let me get... I'm worried about this because his team might have been able to shoot, and I don't know specifically. Let's go at Utah.
That's correct.
The Utah Jazz.
You guys did very well.
Oh, very good.
I've... Very much designed this for you guys to fail. Well done.
Very well done.
Well, now.
Hate you guys. But on the plus side, we're no longer talking about quarters, coins, and elevators or trains.
So when Tom Cruise jumps out of that helicopter in Mission Impossible, you're saying he should have died?
Speaking of really good things that weren't given credit, I hear a little song.
Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Lena Headley.
Okay, so we
game
all agree this is a Game of Scones Chuck edition.
Oh my.
We all understand that scoring 25 points per game is pretty good in the NBA.
Yep.
Si, senor.
There are a number of players that scored 25 points per game but failed to make an All-Star team.
Ooh. Hmm.
I will give you the year.
Ooh.
And the team, you must... I'll give you the year. If you need a hint, I'll give you the team. Okay?
Let's try to do it without teams.
Without teams, because the teams are going to be... It might be too easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, who would like to go first?
Can I go first?
Yeah.
You might as well.
Cool.
I think this all started with Chuck and I talking about, on Ground Chuck, World Be Free. So, I will guess World Be
Free.
This
is in the last 20 years.
This is in the last 20 years.
Try again.
Twenty years. So where does that put us?
1998 is when we're starting.
1998. Carmelo Anthony.
That is correct. In 2005, Carmelo averaged 25 points per game. Okay. So we got one.
I think that's the only one I know.
So I don't know who wins. Whoever just gets most right.
Maybe he did that. No, he didn't that here. Thinking about our friend. I'm not going to guess our friend Jerry Stackhouse. I'm going to guess Antoine Jameson.
Negative. Antoine Jameson is not.
He probably made the All-Star team those years.
Yeah, he could have.
Monte Ellis.
That is correct. 2009.
Ooh, nice.
Monte, 2009-2010, Monte scored 25.5 a game on 51% true shooting.
Which team was that for?
That was for the Golden State Warriors.
Warriors. Yeah.
I'll guess Sharif Abdul-Rahim.
That is a negative.
Oh,
these are big names.
Did he never get to 25?
These are big names except for one, really.
But
it's a guy who is an iShop.
I'm getting hosed.
You are getting hosed.
Dominique, that's more than 20
that's
years.
That's more than
right?
20 years.
Felt like a guess.
Kiki would be more than 20 years.
Way more.
These seem like guesses.
No, I'm not. They're not guesses. I'm saying they're not. Michael Redd.
Michael Redd did do it twice.
But he didn't make the All-Star game?
He did not make the All-Star game in 05 and 06.
Made the dream team for some reason.
He scored. He averaged 25 and 26 per game in 05, 06, and 06, and 07. Failed to make an All-Star team.
Was Alex English ever shut out?
That is over 20 years ago.
Oh.
We'll let that ride. You get another one.
20 years is... what is that?
So here's a hint.
88?
Here's a big hint.
98? How many years ago? 98. Good Lord.
98-99 season.
It's hard.
That 98-99 season, there wasn't an All-Star game, so there were players who scored 25 a game and didn't make an All-Star game.
Oh.
So just think of who was really good in 1998-1999 season, Keith.
I got two more.
Was Gilbert Arenas back then?
No one made an all-star team in that game. So you're just thinking of the two players who scored 25 points a game or more. Because there was only two. In,
Shaquille O'Neal.
There you go, buddy.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for spoon
feeding. I'm not going to go with that one. But I think we talked about them earlier. Antoine Walker, Paul Pierce.
So Paul Pierce did, but not Antoine Walker.
Oh, okay.
2000-2001, Paul Pierce had 25.3 points per game. I think we've got this. So here's some other ones. Yeah, John's obviously the winner. 1998-99 season, Allen Iverson.
That was the other Shaq one.
Shaq and Allen Iverson both scored over 25 points per game on a shortened lockout season. Carmelo Anthony, Michael Redd, Kevin Durant, 08-09, his rookie year.
He didn't score 25 a game his rookie year.
His second year. Well, it wasn't his rookie year. Yeah. Whatever his 08-09 season was. Then we have Monte Ellis, Dame Lillard twice, 2015-16, 2016-17.
He forgot to write a letter both seasons.
That's right.
That's what it was.
I'm ashamed that we missed that Dame Lillard one. I am ashamed.
That is. Lastly, the last player on this is Big Cat, Karl-Anthony Towns in 2016-2017, averaged 25.1 points per game.
Going back to those GM surveys, Big Cat was the anticipated winner of all kinds of awards last year.
Right.
They were like, which guy do you want to start your team around? It was Big Cat. Which guy is the most breakout Big Cat? Big Cat did not have the follow-up season. Thanks, Tom Thibodeau. All right, well, those were our worst of weeks. I hope everyone got one in because we got to move on.
We got to keep going.
We're looking at some of the NBA prop bets and future bets as a Hassan Whiteside cocks it back to Waffle House presents scattered some other covered thoughts. So looking at some of our props from last year, we've never done very good at this. For MVP, we weren't really sure even last year. We didn't even feel like making a bet. No. John was so burned from making a Kevin Durant actual wager yes. 2 years ago that he laid out. Rookie of the year last year, Chuck got Ben Simmons. John and I leaned Lonzo Ball. But again, I believe no real money wagers were made. This year, the odds for rookie of the year, the prohibitive favorite is Luka Doncic. Mm-hmm. So our rookie of the year odds to win, Luka Doncic +333, DeAndre Ayton +375, Colin Sexton +500, Kevin Knox +750. And then everybody else is Marvin Bagley, Jaren Jackson Jr., Trae Young, Wendell Carter are all 1,100 or 1,200. And then there's longer shots. Do any of those tickle your fancy? John, you made a buzzer noise.
I'll do
for Luka Doncic.
What is the value on Ayton again?
John J. Ayton is +375. Who again in his first game?
Yeah, I'll
put
up
big old numbers. Oh, John was actually gonna. Might be placing a wager right now.
I am doing it live.
Live on air.
He's live
on air betting.
So John is betting +375. John J. Ayton. I will say we thought
I
it
spent
would be
the entire game of Scones trying to log into an old online betting account and failing.
Last year we thought it would be a two horse race between Lonzo Ball and Ben Simmons. We did not even mention Donovan Mitchell as the long shot. We did not know it would be a two person race between those two guys. I don't know. I feel like 11-1 Wendell Carter Jr. seems kind of fun. If you look at preseason, Miles Bridges at 40-1. Miles Bridges is the leading scorer in the NBA as we speak right now. he looks incredible.
I like his brother better.
So if I'm going long shots, you know, we call it the Henry Rowan Gardner Rookie of the Year pick coming out of literally left field. What about that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
Shai Alexander. I thought he might be a sleeper pick. John mentioned him as like a sleeper rookie of the year. He, again, looking at preseason,
he came
way off the bench. Like he was behind Teodosic, who didn't play, but he was still behind Beverly.
Yeah.
But he is +3,300. So 33-1, Shai Gilgeous. You know, I feel like I would take a small piece on that.
Drop a tenner on that money.
Yeah. I mean,
$15.
33-1.
Let's see what it works.
If you bet Doncic and Ayton and Gilgeous-Alexander, you know, you might come out even.
But I like Gilgeous-Alexander.
If one of those favorite works.
Because the guys in front of him are brittle. You know, Patrick Beverley and Avery Bradley probably aren't going to get
that's right.
buckets of minutes.
And you got
the Doncic highlights are delicious, but
He's so fat. I'm not ever picking a fat guy.
Racism would be really need to be real to overcome the sheer gaudy numbers I expect Aiton to be able to put up.
Speaking of racism, Dante DiVincenzo plus 5,500.
Ooh.
Mm, delicious.
That's pretty good. Any other you're interested? Grayson Allen plus 9,000 for you?
No
other,
way. All,
other,
I'd never, ever,
other
ever.
Racist listeners? I feel like Kevin Knox, by the way, plus 750. I mean, he's in New York.
And
he's
going to
get shots,
hype.
And he's probably going to get PT.
Well, we haven't said Jaren Jackson Jr. What if he becomes a centerpiece of a fifth seed NBA
I don't think
team?
Most voters know the Grizzlies exist, so I think
it's
you're okay.
Jaren Jackson Jr. still hasn't missed an NBA shot. Perfect in his first game. So
Keith,
good.
I wonder
so
why you were
good.
Glowing today.
Actually, he
wants pictures of Spider-Man.
I thought it was the glow from eating all that Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah. No, Jaren Jackson Jr., for the record, looked he got tricked on a lot of fouls. Like, yeah. James Harden would just dribble into him and he would
foul.
Hey,
you know who else fell for every pump fake there ever was? Shaquille O'Neal.
Mm-hmm. There you go. All right, so MVP, the MVP odds. Last year, here's... the quickest game of scones of all time.
English, but in English.
Yeah, English. I'm not gonna put music. Do you guys know who was the favorite for MVP last season?
The favorite for MVP last season?
Coming into last season, who was the Vegas favorite for MVP?
Anthony Davis.
Wrong.
Ah.
Kevin Durant.
Wrong. John.
I guess LeBron.
Wrong. Chuck.
Steph.
Wrong.
Russell Westbrook.
John. Wrong.
This
Harden.
Is impressive.
Wrong. John.
Really?
God, sham God.
Since you guys both struck out.
Who we figured out?
It's Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard was the odds-on favorite to win MVP last year. And it's really funny because I went back and listened to our future show from last year. We didn't like that bet. I can't even get my head narratively why he would win it. But it was just, he was so good in the playoffs the year before.
We still really didn't like that bet.
But we still didn't like it. And again, last year, we briefly mentioned Harden one time. We thought Harden and Chris Paul would cannibalize themselves.
Right.
Which was still my argument last year why he shouldn't win. Like, why when you add another great player does all of a sudden he become prohibitive favorite?
Right.
Like, it's clearly that they added... Anyway.
That kind of does the Kevin Durant...
It does.
Steph Curry thing.
So,
right in the butt.
Who are you guys feeling for MVP of the league this season?
Let me get Giannis.
Okay, so Giannis... Antetokounmpo is plus 500. LeBron James is the favorite to win MVP this year.
He is going to put up gaudy numbers, but I don't know if I think the minutes restriction is what's going to get him during the regular season. There's nothing in LeBron's past that will show me that he's going to stop playing a bunch of minutes, but I think he's on his retirement tour. He's retired on active duty. And he's going to take it easy, nice and slow, to make sure he gets to the playoffs, packs that the Staples Center, and gets some of that LA juice that he's looking for when he starts his production company after he retires.
Space Jam 2 actually starts shooting in the second round of the playoffs.
Oh yeah, so
they've already booked that. So he's going to be all clear. So James is the favorite, Anthony Davis second, and then Giannis Antetokounmpo, and then you have James Harden plus 650. Then Kawhi Leonard plus 950, Kevin Durant plus 1,000, Steph Curry plus 1,200, Westbrook and Embiid plus 1,500. I don't like Kyrie Irving plus 1,500. And actually last year we thought Kyrie Irving would have a chance at like a scoring title, would be on the Celtics.
I love Kyrie for scoring, but
So what are you feeling, John?
LeBron.
Are any of these LeBron, you like the favorite?
Yes.
I don't like any of these. I can't. It seems like a random grab bag. Like it's going to be someone, and I have no idea who.
So I have this weird, like, hunch that the Lakers are going to stink.
Okay.
I just think they're not
going
to be
you
good.
You and Chris Mannix, but keep going.
I just think they're just going to be a bad...
Boston,
I think that,
hey, Chris from Boston calling in.
I just think that the knuckleheads that are on that lineup, if LeBron can get them to play well, they're going to be great. I don't know if he can get them to play well because it is a bunch of people who historically have not played well on any team they've ever played for. As far as like a chemistry,
other teams,
true. But man, the success LeBron had in the playoffs were with players who could buy in. Kevin Korver, obviously James Jones.
Kyle Korver. It's
James
so early for John and Chuck. It's incredible
it's
how much they're struggling.
But
this was Chuck's idea.
It was.
Chuck did this.
Anyway. Listen to me.
Well,
if that blows up, then LeBron's out of the playoff picture. If they can't get, if they're, you know, sneaking into the playoffs as a six seed.
Also, the Lakers last year.
Seven seed.
The promise they were showing and any of the success they had on the court last year was defense. They had a good defensive team.
Right.
I assume bringing in LeBron James means they're actually going to have a bad defensive team.
Yeah.
And if these guys aren't as good on offense, that is it's kind of a rough formula.
So
they still will probably win MVP because who else is going to get it?
I mean, you
the
look at
the story is overwhelming.
Yeah.
The way that it works usually is that somebody takes a leap, the NBA falls in love with somebody, and then that person wins. Giannis is that guy to me because I think they're probably going to be a top three or four team in the East, and they're going to have Giannis is going to put up ungodly numbers.
I think the top three are correctly seated.
I'm bad at gambling, John. So if I
everyone is bad at gambling.
Everyone is bad at gambling. If I bet LeBron James plus 350, Anthony Davis plus 450, and Giannis Antetokounmpo plus 500,
correct.
And if one of those three wins, I'm fine.
You've lost money on LeBron.
If LeBron wins, I have to pay the VIG pretty much.
Correct.
Right.
But that's almost a wash.
Correct.
So, okay. I feel like I might.
LeBron is a hedge.
I feel like I might do that. A hedge LeBron, then Davis and Antetokounmpo. Any of these crazy long shots?
I mean, you're going to make so little money that way.
So sure. Long shot,
DeMarcus Cousins.
I can go if
which
I
don't. That's hilarious. He's on the board.
I can see a narrative where Joel Embiid takes the Sixers to the number one seed in the East, and he's scoring 29 and 14 and 7 assists, and he's an ungodly monster, and he's an undeniable MVP.
I have just bet $100 on LeBron and $100 on Russell Westbrook.
So Russell Westbrook plus 1600.
Yeah, he may.
I like that, John, because I feel like the
Thunder are going to be good.
They could be poised for a
bounce
back.
He'll be the numbers guy.
Right.
Paul George could sweep in and screw this up, but he's such a low-key dude.
Yeah.
I feel like those are the two bets. I just lost $200.
Yeah.
Good job, John.
I could also see, I liked Durant last year again, and I still.
Me too.
Like Durant and Curry are close. Like, the long shots don't get it for me. I mean,
I don't think NBA.
Jokic, 100-1.
No way.
Donovan Mitchell's not even a long shot. 25-1. Ben Simmons, 25-1. I don't know.
There's no way Kawhi Leonard wins any sort of trophy in Canada.
Let's look at the points per game leader. Points per game, you have Anthony Davis, James Harden plus 300, LeBron plus 650, Giannis plus 700. I mean, you might want to put that Giannis and an MVP, package those together. I mean, if Giannis leads the league in scoring, he's going to win the MVP.
I would assume that would be the thing that would happen.
James Harden led the NBA in scoring last year. It seems like he's a good shot to do it again.
Yeah, I have a very hard time picking against James Harden in this category.
You know, you assume Kyrie Irving won't get the playing time, maybe, that they will spread out the playing time a little bit more. He's a 1,600. Maybe Devin Booker plus 1,600. Just full
When's
Devin.
When's he coming back?
No.
Did he break his hand?
Yeah, it said it was like 2 weeks.
It's not long.
Oh, okay. I thought he missed the whole season. This is 2 weeks in a row where I thought that.
He'll be back. Do you like any of those things, John? Are you furiously trying to place any bets on these scoring? I think these are tough.
James Harden led the NBA in scoring points per game by almost 3 points. That's pretty significant.
Yeah.
So last year he was 2.3 ahead of Anthony Davis. And then LeBron James was third. Damian Lillard still 26.9. No. Same with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I feel like it would be pretty foolish to bet on anybody besides James Harden just because.
I got to say, John, last year we were talking about Russell Westbrook maybe in the scoring race, and you said no. Mm-hmm. Having Carmelo Anthony on your team is like playing an NBA 2K when you shorten the minutes. Like there's fewer possessions.
Right.
Now Carmelo Anthony is gone. If you like that Russ Westbrook long shot MVP, maybe a Russ Westbrook scoring champ.
But Russ is like a 24, 25 points a game guy.
But he was 30 points 2 years ago when he won MVP.
He's shooting trash. It's like his shooting is so trashy now. And it seems like the Thunder are trying to minimize his workload. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't love any of these.
He has settled into like I'm the triple double guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I don't think chasing the big points is as much a part of his game anymore. I think He's the triple double guy.
Yeah, he'd rather have a 20-point triple double than a third, like
100%.
A 50-point game.
That triple double is the biggest thing in Russell Westbrook's life.
Well, he just his wife's pregnant with twins.
That triple double is the biggest thing in Russell Westbrook's life.
He's gonna go for two more sets of twins for the triple double.
That's right.
So then rebounds or assist leader? Like rebounds, I mean, Andre Drummond, it feels weird to go against Andre Drummond. He, was 16 rebounds per game last year.
Gosh.
Hope I lost these odds. Yeah, so Andre Drummond plus 150, DeAndre Jordan plus 300. Just light that money on fire. Do not bet on DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
And then Karl-Anthony Towns, 750, 900. That's, again, like, well, I don't know what the point of even betting this category is.
I mean, I'd say...
John just dropped 500.
I would say betting on Andre Drummond is a very smart bet.
Is it just a safe...
I mean, look at how many...
Decent return.
He had like 100 more rebounds than the next guy if he stays healthy.
Did Blake Griffin cannibalize any of those rebounds? Oh, that's right. He can't jump anymore.
Lord, yeah.
Oh,
come on.
He can't jump.
Hamburger hops.
But Blake Griffin hangs out by the three-point line.
He can't jump over a Kia anymore. He could probably barely jump over an electric scooter.
I will say from last year...
Don't trigger yourself, Chuck.
Sorry.
Going back to last year, thing we got right was we had there was a future bet for Markelle Fultz at 12.5 points per game over under, 2.5 assist over under. We said stay away from both. Don't touch both. Also, John, you loved Carmelo Anthony over 17.5 points per game. He let you down big time.
I want to talk about Carmelo Anthony now.
Oh yes, John, what do you got?
I'm setting the over under at 17 points a game.
He averaged 16.2 last year.
Will he go over or under on his new team?
I would say under.
Under.
I got him at like 13, 14.
Way down.
That's a hard under.
Yeah. He's not going to play big minutes.
I'm going to fall for it again. I'll say over. Slightly over.
It's pretty high. And also, Chuck and I have a wager running for a bottle of Dreamland barbecue sauce. I have Kevin Love will score under 23.5.
And I'm going over.
Points per game.
I believe Chuck said Kevin Love would score 34 points a game this year.
I think he can get closer to 30 than to 23.
I think he said Kevin Love will score.
Who's going to score points on that team?
Colin Sexton.
My only prop bet, John or Chuck, Kyle Anderson over under 10 points per game. Career high is 8. Over under 10 points per game.
Slam dunk over.
Oh, he's buying in. I'm buying in too.
Slam dunk 11 points a game.
The genius.
Shlomo Anderson.
The genius coaching of JB Bickerstaff.
DeMarcus Cousins. The worst season where he was truly a starter was 18 points a game at 30 minutes a game. He had 17 points a game. Let's set it at over under 18.5 points a game.
Slam dunk under.
Oh, under.
And he doesn't have to qualify. We're not like, because he's only going to play 30 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slam dunk under.
He's going to get about 15 if he gets in. Like,
what's his games played? For me, games played, DeMarcus Cousins is way more interesting.
Probably.
Played 48 last year.
Oh, he's going to play.
But I'm saying he has a torn Achilles right now.
Right.
I'm going to set it 25.5.
I don't think they're rushing at all to put him back in.
I think in the games he plays, he'll crush that over.
Yeah,
crush it.
I'm saying
games played for this season 25.
So like, look at. So
but I think he'll score well over. I think he'll score over 17 points.
So if the season goes on, obviously the Warriors are going to be good. They're going to be in the top two in the West. They're not going to have to. They don't care about the number one seed. Obviously, last year gives us that insight. You put Boogie at the end last 10 games just to get him in. In game shape and to get a little flow with that offense. Yeah, dude, if he plays 20 games, I'll be surprised.
Okay.
The player most likely
to
take Kyrie Irving's role now that he has relinquished it as the Illuminati scion. The player to have the most bizarre, let's call him geopolitical views.
JaVale McGee, he's in LA, weed's legal. Let's see it go.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Keith?
Jonathan Isaac.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I didn't say Jonathan Isaac, but I'm on your wavelength. I think Gordon Hayward, being in that locker room with Kyrie Irving, will push him even further to the right to make him totally out
I think Jonathan Isaac has come out as being... he's quite religious, quite conservative. I'm scared in Orlando, which is actual hell.
Oh no.
I thought it was wonderful, guy. You guys are Disney boys.
Oh no.
Everything outside of Disney.
Disney is its own thing.
Right. That's heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
Orlando probably is purgatory.
Yeah, so I'm worried Jonathan Isaac is going to fall down some weird rabbit holes.
Religious rabbit holes. They
come out on he's making some real strange YouTube videos about the layout of the Orlando airport being satanic.
Jonathan Isaac was a guy, did he do that, he did that speech or whatever.
He was the sermon where no one showed up.
And then
he came out recently very heavily in favor of abstinence, which, go for it, young man. He's 19. Okay. Like, live your religious life.
Go for it. You 19-year-old.
We saw how that worked out for Dwight Howard, who had the same opinions when he was a 19-year-old.
Oh, my God.
Dwight Howard can fart the catechism.
Here's one for you. Last year, the leading scorer on the Sacramento Kings was...
Zebo.
Zach Randolph at 14.5.
That would have taken me 42 guesses.
At 14.5 points per game. What will the leading scorer for the Sacramento Kings? Will he average over or under 15 points per game?
I think
over.
And who will it be?
I think it's Buddy Hield, and he'll get close to 20 a game.
I don't think it'll be Buddy Hield, but I think there's guys there that can.
I think Buddy's.
I think Buddy Hield is probably the prohibitive favorite to be the leading scorer for the Kings.
Really?
It'd be like 17, 18.
De'Aaron Fox second?
Maybe. Yeah. But Buddy's got, he's got a few seasons under his belt. I mean, he shot well last year.
I would put Bagley's over under at like 11 points per game. Maybe.
What is the rookie, the leading rookie scorer? What are they going to score this year per game?
That's DeAndre Ayton is going to score a ton of points.
DeAndre Ayton probably 18.
18 a game. Yeah. Doncic.
I think if it's 14, 13, you'd be pretty
happy.
I think
Dave Yeager probably plays Ben McLemore at the three, and he scores probably.
He did say Ben McLemore was looking good.
Put it in my veins.
Dave Yeager talking about Ben
McLemore. Bogdan Bogdanovich, 18.2 points a game. Give it to me.
Could happen.
That's crazy talk.
Yes. Frank Mason III, two assists a game.
I don't really have any other deep sleeper. Do you have any other deep sleeper future bets?
Gordon Hayward and or who's slap nuts for Utah, Grayson Allen, be allowed to be punched on the court under the punch a Nazi meme?
I think it's legal.
So one that I'm interested in, what would you put Donovan Mitchell's points per game this season?
Dope. That could be a dude that scores like 28 a game.
I could see that scenario.
Like, not even joking. And if that's the case,
20.5 last year. Where can I find his splits?
What are his odds for MVP?
I'm looking at him.
25 to 1.
25 to 1. I mean, that's a flyer. Cuz let's say Utah gets, with Gobert, that defense is insane. Let's say Utah is a second seed or a third seed.
In the playoffs, he averaged 23.5 points per game in 11 games. I would put his over under scoring maybe right there. At that 20, Kevin Love level,
23.5.
I think I would take... Actually, I'm expecting him to score like 24, 25 a game.
I would think 25 a game is easy for him.
They need him to score 25
a
game.
He has to.
You trying to find some splits, John? Or are you trying to make some bets?
John is just...
John was furiously iPadding.
This is like a trigger podcast for John, because while he's actually podcasting, he's dropping thousands of dollars on prop bets.
I just made a bet on Rudy Gobert's numbers. We were on.
Where are you finding these bets? See, I can't find these bets. Tell me what bets you're looking at.
We were on Donovan Mitchell, and I was like, oh, there's Rudy Gobert. And then I was like, oh, man, Rudy Gobert is going to get way more than that many blocks. Come on.
Well, so what do you see, John? I would have to go
over the 22 points that they seem to think he's going to average.
Oh, yeah, I would take over.
Oh,
that.
Easy.
I just don't know who else. I mean, they need him to score desperately.
Yeah.
I mean, their second best scorer is Joe Ingles.
Or Rubio.
Yeah.
Rubio was super good. I'm taking all. If you found me any overs on his stats for this year, I would take them.
Let's see. I'm going to place a bet. David Stockton?
Unfortunately, the nepotism that was David Stockton's 10-day contract is over.
Is it?
Okay, guys, who is this year's Emeka Okafor and who is this year's Jahlil Okafor?
Wait.
What does that mean?
You mean an Emeka Okafor would be who's been out for 3 years who shows back up in the NBA?
A guy who you don't expect to suddenly show back up in the NBA and do well. And then Jahlil Okafor, let's just talk about a guy who's just going to completely flame out. You guys don't have an answer?
Okay.
This year's a Mecca Okafor. Jahlil Okafor. This year's Jahlil Okafor. A Mecca Okafor.
Yeah, a Mecca Okafor already cut.
Galaxy Brain.
All of these people are on the Pelicans. All right, so those are some future bets.
Oh, Pelicans. I'm not in on the Pelicans, guys.
It is. Nah. It's hard to find these bets.
If you're in on the Pelicans.
If anyone finds
liar.
Any fun prop bets,
like Anthony Davis.
Send them to us.
I'm not done yet.
Okay.
So last year, this is important to me. I want us to write this one down. LeBron averaged 27.5 points per game, yep. 9.1 assists per game, and 8.6 rebounds per game.
Okay.
That gets him to, so
like let's, 45
yeah.
units of points,
over
rebounds,
under,
assists together?
Over under LeBron points, rebounds, assists, do you think he goes over or under this year?
Over what he did last year?
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, we are going to watch the subtle decline of LeBron James as he lives in Malibu. So I'm going under.
I'm going under as well. I think he's going to cede a lot of those assists to Lonzo and Rondo.
Right.
He apparently wants to play some more off ball. I think he's coasting. I think we're gonna see his points per game go down to like 24, and he's not gonna pick up any of the other. Maybe he can rebound, because I don't know who grabs rebounds on that team. But
okay, you just said what I'm thinking. I think the points are gonna go down.
Uh-huh.
The assists will stay the same.
Okay.
I think the rebounds. I think he has the potential to have the most rebounds he's ever had.
He's 100-1 to lead the NBA in rebounds. If you want to,
that's spellbinding. Do they just put him in every single one, and then just hope there's some guy on there going, "Oh yeah, LeBron, LeBron, Ryan that. Darling's on there, Damon Rangula, well, oh, LeBron, yeah, LeBron."
I mean, you can place a bet for Kyle Kuzma to win MVP.
You can.
So,
Kuzma daddy.
That Vegeta-looking fool.
Porzingis also.
I think it's going to be really close. I think LeBron's going to put up some pretty startling numbers, but it'd be pretty staggering.
Startling good?
Yeah, I think so. But it would be staggering to me to see him at 27.5 points.
Although
per game again.
You did just 15 minutes ago place a wager on LeBron to win the MVP.
So. I'm pretty in on this Lakers thing.
Welcome to the mind of the degenerate.
Oh, yeah. I'll bet on something right now.
I don't even care.
All right, we'll parfait away, wrapping up, getting out of here. I'm looking forward to the final round of T-shirt submissions.
Oh, man, these
we
T-shirt
got a few
submissions,
funny.
They've been great. They've been so great.
Well, I got to say,
people are
mainly sending jokes, which I do appreciate.
No, we love the jokes.
They're really funny. I'm not sure we can make the Dunked On parody T-shirt, although we might have to make the Dunked
Let's
On
parody. Let's do it.
Very, very funny. But last round for your T-shirt submissions.
That My Fiance was submitted to us?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're going to make the My Fiance Dunked On T-shirt.
Oh, man.
That is incredible.
This is a spoiler alert.
So if you
Joe Yoder will buy three. It'll be the only we ever sell.
So if you want to design the next Fast Break Breakfast T-shirt, you have until...
Who designed the Dunked On My Fiance shirt?
We'll give him credit next show.
It's a genius.
It's in my email. Email me at fastbreakbreak@gmail.com or slide into the Twitter DMs. If you have a Fast Break Breakfast T-shirt design, we're going to let you go through, you know, since we're recording these before they come out,
right.
I'm worried you guys didn't know it was cut off. So as of this Saturday, we will be done with those submissions.
Well, and
let's say Monday.
And just to up the ante, if we pick your T-shirt, your submission for our T-shirt, I will call you. And I will call you while I'm smoking pot, and we'll have a wonderful conversation about life and esoteric love.
So the T-shirt design cutoff is Indigenous Peoples Day, mm-hmm. Monday, October 8th. Submit that design. If you win, if we pick your shirt, we'll give you $30. We will send you the T-shirt that you designed and give you a Fast Break Breakfast rally towel. So get those T-shirt submissions.
And I will call you stoned.
So that's
Chuck, this is an opportunity for you to... make amends.
Okay.
Give me a game show sound.
I thought you wanted a computer randomizer noise.
Computer randomizer noise. Go.
Right now, if you don't know, John, who was.
That's another guy who's already won.
So right now, we are randomly selecting a Patreon supporter to win John's doggy bag all off.
Should a guy who's already won be allowed to win again?
No,
we can't. We gotta spread that wealth.
So he's Tara Bowen Biggs.
Tara Biggs.
Tara.
Well, thanks, Tara. I'm reaching out to you right now for your address. I will send you a Patreon off-season doggy bag. Once the season begins, this will happen once a month to listeners of a certain tier. We're really excited to send these out. I have a lot of fun messing around with these.
Hey, we love you guys out there in Patreon land. We do it for you because if it wasn't for you guys, John and Keith and I would have quit a long time ago. Thank you for your support, your love.
You're making me gamble. You're ruining my life.
And to give us something to kind of grind to. So we appreciate you. Keep on showing that Patreon love.
And just so you know, we're taking all the Patreon money and betting them on our over-unders
this year,
which come out next week. Eastern Conference will be very exciting.
And if that comes, did so poorly, guys.
If that works well for us, then we'll probably not have to work ever again.
That's exactly right. So if you want to support us, do that at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. Again, you got to sign up for fantasy basketball. You have like a week and a half to get involved there. To sign up and be included in either a regular league or the world-famous International Stackhouse of Pancakes League for Pride and Glory. And sign up at that $5 level on Patreon to get your episodes of Ground Chuck, the Patreon-exclusive bonus episode. You can follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook at Fast Break Break. All right, you guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.
Yeah, never apologize for being G&G. Fast break, man. You understand?